In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Here we are again at the cross. The cross, once again, is at the center of our attention. And with a certain urgency at this midpoint of Great Lent, to say to us, the cross is our goal. The church tells us. The cross is our goal, as Christ says to us today, once more, to pick up our cross and follow him. If we did not pick up our cross, this small cross of Lent, how will we come before Christ crucified on Holy Friday? What does it mean to arrive on Paschal night without having given the Lenten effort, whatever offering we make, and without Good Friday? What does it mean to arrive on Paschal night without Good Friday? Without attention to the cross first. If that's the case, Paschal then becomes mere spectacle. Yet another excuse to eat, drink, and be merry. Something to which we give our own vague meaning, colored by our own ego and sentimentality. When an apostle such as St. Paul was writing his first letter to the Corinthians, a problem church it was in Corinth, Greece, which of course is still there today, his message is first and foremost the cross, right up front. There were divisions in the church of Corinth, people choosing sides. And St. Paul, wanting to overcome these divisions, brings the cross right into the middle of the argument. He says in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am for Paul, I am for Apollos, I am for Cephas, I am for Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God." And St. Paul declares that it is the cross which brought the Jews and Greeks together as believers in Jesus Christ, even though both cultures resisted the cross from the point of view of their respective theology and philosophy. He says, still in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling blocks, and unto the, a stumbling block unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." A unifying force is the cross. And St. Paul continues in the second chapter, and he says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." St. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, a difficult and divided community, that the cross is the answer to their problems. It is the rallying cry and the call to unity and to the overcoming of all divisions. And brothers and sisters, so it is for us today in the church in Birmingham. And by the way, the church of Corinth indeed is still continues to this day in Greece, from the Bible until this moment. As we sing in one of the hymns of this day, as a power that can never be defeated, thy cross, O Savior, has been given to us Christians. Through it, the alien hosts of the enemy are put to flight. And thy church, O Christ, rightly confessing the true faith, is overshadowed with peace. Kissing it, we raise our fervent cry to thee. Make us also worthy of the inheritance of thy saints. Brothers and sisters, the inheritance of the saints is by the way of the cross. Men and women of God who responded to Christ, who responded to his call, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. St. Nikolai of Serbia, commenting on today's gospel, says, in speaking of the phrase, whosoever will means that Christ does not force or exert pressure. Rather, he suggests and he offers. Whosoever will, it's up to us. St. Nikolai says, it is by our own will that we fell into the sickness of sin. It is by our own will that we fell into the sickness of sin, and it is by our own free will that we must be healed from sin. That we must be healed. And Christ doesn't deny that taking up a cross is a bitter medicine, and sometimes very bitter. But he makes it easier for us by first taking up the cross himself for us. It would be good for us as well to keep in mind when we think at times that our sins are not that big of a deal, that our sins required Christ hanging upon the cross. Our sins required Christ hanging upon the cross. Christ hanging upon the cross as the perfect offering for sin. Christ, brothers and sisters, went through great trouble for us. Great trouble. And great trouble, of course, is putting it mildly. So Christ went through great trouble, and if we want to follow him, we need to expect some troubles also, but nothing like his trouble. To be cross-bearers today is to reveal our love for Christ, who first loved us and gave himself for us. It is to want to know nothing but Christ and him crucified, as St. Paul says. To deny ourselves, St. Nikolai says, is to deny our false selves. He says we must deny the earth-boundedness that has for us replaced spirituality. And we must deny the passions that have replaced good works. We must deny evil thoughts. We must deny evil desires and evil deeds. He says we must deny the idolatrous worship of nature and of our bodies. The idolatrous worship of our bodies. In brief, we must deny all that we reckon is me, quote unquote. That is me, but is in reality not us, but the devil and sin, corruption, illusion, and death. So the self-denial Christ calls us to today by his cross is in order to come to our true self. Deny ourselves in order to come to our true self, our renewed self, unencumbered by sin and free of the oppression of the devil. We sang last night, the cross raises us from earth to heaven. The cross is the enemy of Satan. The cross is the glory of martyrs. The cross is the haven of salvation. Christ was crucified for us by his own free will, by his self-sacrificing love for fallen human beings like you and I. Brothers and sisters, his mercy and salvation are freely given, a free gift. It's not something we can earn. Only Christ has truly earned our salvation. Our salvation is a free gift to be received. But to a fallen and sinful world in rebellion from God, God came to it and was rejected. The cross is also the reminder to us of God's rejection at the hands of men. And if we freely choose to follow Jesus Christ in this fallen and broken and sinful world, then for us too, it means a cross. It means resistance to evil. It may mean our own rejection by men as we try to resist evil and as evil pushes back against us. Many of you are feeling that in Lent right now, that pushback of evil. But brothers and sisters, the cross defeated Satan, and for each of us, the cross is still the way to defeat evil today. And it is the way as we pick up our cross, to hold on to Christ, our crucified Lord and Savior. So finally, let us sing to Him. O merciful Lord, Thou hast endured the cross and passion in the midst of the earth, granting unto all men redemption and freedom from the passions. Therefore, on this middle day of the feast, of the fast, we set this cross before us, and we venerate it with great joy. Glorious with the light of the divine virtues, may we all be counted worthy to see Thy passion and life-giving resurrection, O Word of God, who art alone rich in mercy. By the power of the precious and life-giving cross, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.